Your whip about to get rocking. Your smile about to be popping. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress.
Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie and Tommy are about to kick off another great show. Listen live on the radio or anytime on their new home, the Listener app.
Shout out to my girl Romani. Call me back, girl.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Welcome to it for your Wednesday afternoon. How are we, guys?
I have had my little world rocked, Bickers.
Why?
Because we had a meeting earlier in the day.
Yep.
And then I went off to have a swim, to do some training. I rewarded myself with a sit in the steam room. Guess what happened? There was three people in that steam
room.
Three
men, let me guess.
There was two men and a lady.
Oh, there's never a lady in your steam rooms.
Yeah. There was. You're
always saying they're just old men.
Oh, it was either a lady or a man wearing a bikini.
Okay.
But either way, there was what appeared to be, from my angle, a lady in there. And then there was just this sound. And the dude goes, excuse me.
Gross.
Yeah,
and it's hot. Steam room.
Yeah, I know. And the other people didn't move. And I'm like, I'm not waiting for that to steam up.
Oh.
And so I just moved up and out. And I paid extra.
It was you, wasn't it?
I paid extra for the steam. Hey, big show coming up, including
I want to know what happened up next, because up next I missed a big night last night.
Yeah.
The team went out.
We went out to celebrate one thing and then ended up
celebrating another?
Yeah.
Because the board, I thought it happened a while ago.
It did anyway. It also happened again last night. You'll find out about it next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because we had a big staff party last night.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I had an early night.
Yes, you did.
I was asleep by 8:30.
We went out to dinner, and it was.
Look, I'm normally the life of the party at these team drinks. But
I was waiting for someone to agree with you. I just thought I'll leave an opening for someone to agree.
But I couldn't come last night.
No.
And I was so upset because you were all heading off and they're normally the best fun, and I was very sad to have missed out.
Mm.
And all I saw was on the group WhatsApp,
like
bits and pieces going back and forth about the night and what was happening, and I had real FOMO.
What's that happening
asleep
on the WhatsApp? Were people WhatsApping
you
what was
don't
going
ever
on?
Look at the WhatsApp, no. So just ignore that.
Who WhatsApps about a dinner, though? What were we WhatsApping?
Well, they were sending the pics of you during the dinner when you were doing, you know.
What was I doing?
Well, it's you should see the WhatsApp, then you'll know.
Okay, I'm going, that's not me, that's a deepfake.
Anyway, talk to me about the dinner.
So it was meant to be celebrating a few things, right? We have a new team member, Georgia. It was meant to be welcoming Georgia.
Yep.
It was meant to be farewelling Pip, who is going on maternity leave.
Yes, good luck, Pip.
Yes, and then one of our team members worked interstate, and so we haven't seen him in a while.
Yep.
Jezalenko on the Pots and Pans. It was meant to be just seeing him, catching up with him. And as you know, it was and farewelling you because you're going to London for 3 months.
It's afterthought.
It's hard to remember because you didn't even come. So,
no, I know, to be fair. And also, the show is still going to continue while I'm away.
Yes,
miss seeing my face in person every day.
Yes, I know, I will. And so that's what it was meant to be about.
Yes.
And then I was presented with a present from the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is the present for? And they said, it was for your birthday.
Oh, it's finally arrived, the gift.
Thank you.
Tommy.
About 3 months late, yes.
And so I opened it, and it's very funny. It's a pair of budgie smugglers with my own face on it, right?
Yeah. Your face in the kiddie pool.
My face in the kiddie pool, yes, on my budgie smugglers.
Wearing Addie's hat,
and
my favourite photo ever.
And at that point, the waitress came over and she said, oh, is it your birthday? And I said, no, it's a little bit belated, but, you know. And then she said, how long ago? And I said, a couple of months. And she goes, oh, good friends you've got at this table. And that's when Annabelle, our producer, piped in.
She wouldn't like that.
She said, not friends, work colleagues.
Oh, gosh. She wouldn't have said that if I was there.
But then just more stuff started to come. So, like,
from your work colleagues or from the waitress?
No, from the lovely restaurant. So I, you know, asked for a drink, and they said the birthday boy going to have a free drink.
Oh my god! Did this night become about you?
And then
nothing to do with you.
Have you seen what? Then
did they give free drinks to Pip?
No, she's pregnant. Yeah, she was sucking back the piss still. And then they even brought out this for me.
Oh my god! A happy birthday dessert.
Yes.
With beautiful writing that says happy birthday.
Yeah. One of the blokes came over and he said, hey, it's my birthday tomorrow. So we're birthday buddies. Shook my hand.
I mean, you're not.
No, you're not. And so out of all the things we were celebrating, I got quite a lot of birthday attention. Yeah. And I thought.
When do you not get attention? God, it's exhausting, isn't it?
You didn't even come. You can't get angry at something you weren't there for.
I can't get angry that an event that was not about you became about you.
It's not.
With people giving you free stuff and girls giving you free drinks and desserts, and it's just gross.
It says happy birthday in calligraphy and chocolate on it.
I know, I can
see. It's so good.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 131060. Who hijacked your celebration? Was it meant to be about you? Well, maybe you're the hijacker. And some jerk came in and just swanned about and started getting free stuff. Give us a call, 131060.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little driving you home for your Wednesday afternoon. And on 131060, when did someone steal your thunder?
Yep. Last night was meant to be Carrie's farewell to London dinner, although we're still broadcasting while she's over there. It was meant to be Pippa, our producer's farewell. She's going on maternity leave. We have a new staff member replacing her, Georgia. It was meant to be her welcome dinner.
Yep, and a good day to one of our staff members that works interstate that we don't ever get to see.
Mm. But instead, I got free drinks because it was my birthday.
A dessert plate
with happy birthday written in chocolate.
When was your birthday?
2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa, when did someone hijack your event or your birthday?
Firstly, happy birthday, Tommy, more
Thank
importantly.
Thank you, Lisa. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
So I turned 21 and had a great big birthday party, invited all my family and friends. And my boyfriend at the time decided that would be the most appropriate time to propose to me.
Oh, wow.
What a jerk.
I mean, were you happy about it at the time?
I mean, yes, but my uncle went to the shop and bought an engagement card back and signed it and gave it to us. I'm like, hey, this is about me, not about us.
And then how did that all work out for you, Lise, dare I ask?
Can I just tell you that today is our 20-year wedding anniversary?
Oh,
wow.
Oh, I was not expecting that, Lise, I'll be honest.
So there you go.
Good on you, Lise.
Oh, well, good on him for hijacking your 21st.
I will think about you on my birthday every year.
I'll think about you. I'll think about
good
you on
you.
Our wedding anniversary.
Yeah. Good on you, Lise.
That's weird.
Thank you,
Lise. Is this something you can give Lise? I feel like she needs something. That's an awesome achievement.
Yes, we can give Lise a $100 Chemist Warehouse voucher.
There you go, Lise.
Chemist Warehouse.
Yes.
You don't
bad.
Don't share that with your hubby. He stole your day all those years ago. Go buy something for yourself.
Yes. You know? G'day, Tracy.
Yep. Hi, how you going?
Pretty good. Who hijacked your do?
Well, first I want to do a shout out to Romani and happy birthday to Tommy.
Thank you, Trace. Great stuff.
Well, it was my mum who hijacked my sister's hens night. We all flew in for my sister's hens night because the wedding was the next day. And my mum went up to do her speech, which we thought was lovely, but she announced her engagement to our stepdad instead.
Oh.
I don't know how I feel about that, Trace.
I know.
Couldn't she just waited another day?
Well, we thought she could have, but no, she didn't. But this was the first time we heard of it too. And then so on the wedding day, most of it was about everyone talking about my mum getting engaged instead of my sister's actually getting married. My mum, took the limelight again.
And how did that go with your sister?
Well, she had a baby about a month ago, so she's very hormonal at that time.
Yes.
So me being the bridesmaid, I had to step up, and my way of doing it was to eat raw seafood with her, which I hate seafood. but is what a sister has to do, isn't it? To keep the peace between the family.
What are you talking about, Tracy?
Why
are you talking about raw seafood?
That was the meal that they did. And, yeah, I don't like raw seafood, but it made
what?
Her
so,
happy.
Hold on. At the wedding, they had raw seafood, and to make your sister happy, you ate the wedding food. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's what I had to do, yep.
Do you just mean sushi? Trace, is this just sashimi at a wedding?
No, I love sushi, but no. This is like, you know, all the seafood at the beach, all there, yeah. You go up with your plate and you pick out all the seafood and, yeah.
I don't know if it's raw, though. Anyway.
Tracy, your she family has like a funny way of settling disputes.
And she doesn't like a seafood buffet.
No, good on you. Kayleen, g'day.
Hello, how are you? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Kayleen. Appreciate
and, look,
it.
I've got to say shout out to Romani as well, I guess.
I
have to say I'm really, really devastated. This one, I've got tickets, have tickets to see you on Saturday night with my husband.
Yes.
And we've been together for 30 years, so it's all about that. We wanted to stay in Melbourne for the night, come and see Tommy Little. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that on your 30th anniversary?
Yes.
And, of course, he gets tested for COVID yesterday and he's positive. So we can't come, and I'm just honestly truly upset. I'm just devastated.
Kayleen,
I'm so angry.
You should be angry at him. It was very selfish. But I will.
Maybe he didn't want to have to share you on your wedding anniversary with
Tommy. I
thought
you were going to say that's how he's getting out of seeing my show.
I mean, that too. Yeah. Yes.
Hey, Kayleen, no. I'll organise you other tickets. Just tell one of our producers when you want to go and I'll organise you other tickets.
We had front row. I was ready. I was ready to heckle.
You can get your front row tickets too, Kayleen. Gosh, she's a hard bargain.
I don't think I can get a front row ticket.
But Tommy, I've got to ask you. I have to ask you. There's one segment that I saw on TV one day, and you probably don't have time for this, but it was Thomas Loves Hummus.
Yes.
Do you remember? My God.
It's where I kicked a tub of hummus at a bloke.
Yes, and I have repeated that to so many people who didn't see it.
What is happening?
And I'd love to see it live, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, Kayleen. We're going to organise you a hotline to call Tommy personally and he can do gear about hummus.
You can catch Tommy Little's new show, Pretty Fly for a Dickhead, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, March 31 to April 24.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
A time game jackpots weekly.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
When exactly 5 seconds is up. And now, here's a message from our sponsor.
Catch Peking Duck, G-Flip, the Rubens and more at AusGP Sessions at the Formula One Heineken Australian Grand Prix. All details at grandprix.com.au.
This week, the jackpot is up to
$6,600.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Give us a call.
You forgot what the amount was then, didn't you?
Nah, I just like to leave a little hint of suspense. Will he make it to the microphone in time? Is he just leaning away from the microphone and having a sip of his drink? He might have been, but let's not dwell on that. Give us a call 131060. The time game is next.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
On your radio and the listener app, it's Carrie and Tommy for your drive home.
Thank you, Tracy. $6,600 is what we're up to, Bickers. Yep. Ebony, g'day.
Hi.
How have you gone when you play the time game, Ebony?
Pretty good, but I don't know how I'll go.
do you reckon you're a big stage player? Like, do you reckon you're someone who rises to the occasion? Or are you like Carrie here and you choke under pressure?
Probably choke under pressure.
It's all right, Ebony. Ignore him. We're going to hand you over to Jesse, channel good thoughts, and you say stop at exactly 5 seconds. Handing you
all
over
right,
now.
All right, thank you.
Start.
Stop.
That felt good.
Did it?
Yep, straight off the mark. I think that felt good.
I thought it felt a little on the long side. Ebony, how did you feel?
I don't know.
Oh, Eb, you're going to be all right here. Jesse, how did Ebony go?
6.39.
Ooh, you're right. A little on the long side.
It was like we pushed her off the plank. Oh, well, sorry, Ebony.
Jake, I hear you're a pretty good time game player.
Yeah, I'm right up there, I reckon.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jake, we're not going to stuff around. We're just going to hand you over. Best of luck. $6,600 could be yours.
Do it.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, Jake, you're shit ass.
Hang on. Let's get the answer first.
3.92.
And do you want to push Jake off the plank?
Yep, and done. Good. Caitlin.
Did Jake not even give us a screen
Jake's
then?
Gone. Caitlin. Caitlin. Jake's still there. Oh, Jake, you're funny. Caitlin.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, very serious.
Caitlin, this means business.
I'm losing my voice, that's why.
Okay.
Well, let's not waste any of that voice chatting to us. Mm. Let's hand you over to Jesse.
Stop.
Okay, thank you. Stop.
Oh,
that felt good.
My felt good. Mother, that
oh,
felt good.
Jesse's got a big smile on his face.
Okay, Caitlin.
Stop. Dressed.
Yeah, $6,600 is a fair bit of money. What are you going to do with it?
Go on a holiday. I want to go on a holiday. I need a holiday.
You know, you've got two things that happen now. First one is you get it bang on 5 seconds, and then you get the money and you get to go on the holiday. But if it's not bang on 5 seconds, unfortunately, we've got to push you off the plank and you've got to fall down the ravine. So, Jesse, how did Caitlin go?
5.
Ooh.
Point.
Ooh.
1.9.
Ooh.
Sorry, Caitlin.
How's
gotta
that?
Go.
Off that plank, Caitlin.
Okay, see ya.
It's not really working, the plank game, is it?
One more shot, or?
Yeah, one more. G'day, Sam.
Hi, how you going, Tommy?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. You sound like you've got all the energy in the world, so let's get stuck straight in. Best of luck, Sam.
All right, thank you.
Start.
Stop. Ooh, felt close. Sam, how did you feel?
Sorry?
How did you feel?
Let's just get the answer.
Okay.
I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sam, there's another thing that we're a bit nervous about too. We've been trying, because our first caller made a funny noise and went, we've been thinking it's funny to pretend to push people off a plank, but no one's been screaming. If you get this wrong and we pretend to push you, will you scream?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Jesse, how did Sam go?
6.18.
Oh.
See you, Sam. Push. God damn it!
Jackpot next week. Carrie and Tommy. Around Australia for your drive home, the Sarvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
A huge night tonight at the MCG in Melbourne. Shane Warne's state funeral will be held. Over 50,000 people will fill the MCG. Star-studded lineup of performances, renaming the stand there to become the Shane Warne stand. And close friend and TV personality, also organiser of tonight, Eddie McGuire, joins us now. Welcome, Eddie.
Get on there, Carrie. Get on there, Tommy. Call me the organiser tomorrow if it goes well, okay?
What a job. Talk to us. We've heard the sort of headline of what's happening tonight, but give us the inside word. What can people expect tonight?
Look, Carrie and Tommy, I think, you know, you guys have done these things. We spoke of this before. You know, when you reach out or there's something that's significant and then suddenly everyone comes from everywhere and they don't just turn up, they actually really give. And that's where it's at the moment. I've just looked at literally a couple of minutes ago, Robbie Williams has done a song for tonight and it's absolutely magnificent. It's, you know, this isn't somebody going, oh, you know, pull something off Rage and you can, you know, and you can use it. This is something that has been heartfelt. You know, Chris Martin wrote a piece called The Eulogy, which will be used tonight, and he also sings one of his favourite songs. Ed Sheeran, who's a great mate and spent so many big nights down in the Warnie Man Cave down in Brighton, you know, he's done so. And then what do you see Elton John, what he has, the lengths he's gone to. And, you know, so these guys, they're not there on the stage tonight because they're all over the world, but geez, they're not phoning it in, I can promise you. And then everyone else, everyone that's anyone who, from old mates to superstars to messages to, you know, we're going to have panels of great cricketers. So all up, it's going to be the biggest sportsman's night. One of the Channel 10 reporters yesterday called it the closest thing to Glastonbury we're probably having in Australia for a while. And then also we're going to have the poignancy of hearing from Warnie's father and his brother and his three kids. Mm. And then hopefully, people are there with us when we dedicate the stand. So, yeah, it's there's a lot in there.
It's going to be huge, Ed. It's obviously going to be filled with a lot of emotion as well. A lot of the names that you just mentioned, some of the biggest stars in the world, are there any people that surprised you? Was there any friendships, high-profile friendships, that you didn't know about and you went, oh, I didn't know that they were so close?
Every time you went out with the Warnie, there was something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, John Stevens is doing an In Excess and Noiseworks medley, which were the bangers that Warnie loved in his car, and Anthony Calea as other entertainers tonight. So I don't want to leave out the local superstars as well. But I'll tell you a quick funny story. I'm sitting at home. I was down in Portsea over the summer. This is 2 years ago. And the phone rings, and it's Shane Warne, which always means there's either a massive story happened or we're going to have some fun. when you're president of a sports or a cricket club long enough, when the phone rings, it's trepidation generally. Anyway, Warnie's there and he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm here with my son. He said, come around to the house down at Portsea. I've got a chef and come in for dinner. And I said, oh, great. He said, yeah, we've got spaghetti bolognese. So I didn't exactly stretch the talents of this international chef. But so we turn up. There's a guy there. I get, hello, his name's Ross. Hello, Ross. Nice to meet you. Warnie sort of gives Ross, the Reader's Digest version of who I am. And then he sort of tells me that Ross is a great golfer and a businessman and, from the UK, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we get talking. They ask me about soccer, Indian soccer. My father and the first club I ever barracked for as a kid before I even knew about Collingwood was Glasgow Celtic. And anyway, so I start banging on about Celtic and, how they're the great club and won the European Cup and blah, 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 blah. And Warnie, look, I mean, he's got the 1,000-watt smile going. What's wrong with this? He said, this bloke Ross, he barracks for Celtic too. I said, really? How do you like the Celts? And Warnie goes, the family owns them. You're Ross Desmond, eh? Yes, I'm right. Okay.
Well, on the flip side to that, there's been a lot of outpouring of love and admiration, I guess, with how his family have coped with everything over the last few weeks. I can't imagine what it's like to grieve someone so public like that when it's so personal. How are they all going?
Well, Tommy and Carrie, let me just set the scene. So Shane was probably in the happiest space of his life. In the last period of time, he really found himself and was going really well. His kids had become adults. He had a wonderful relationship with them. His family was going well, and his career was right, and he was on top of his game. He was going to set up his family compound down at Portsea, and he had just things going. So then, for this sudden death of anybody, and particularly 52 years of age, and particularly given the fact that it was Shane, and he was so vibrant and energetic. So that happens in the middle of the night on the other side of the world. They've taken advice but have given willingly, and then tonight they're going to stand up in front of the world and pour their heart out. And like last night we did a sound check at the MCG, and I've been talking about it for 3 weeks now, and you think you've just about got through it all, and then suddenly there was a photo came up at the end, and your voice catches. And it comes to, it really hits you that, he is past and he's gone, and this is it. And so for them tonight, amongst all the fun and the fair that we'll have and the outpouring of emotion, it is a memorial for a son, a brother, and a father. It's going to be pretty poignant, pretty significant.
It'll be, as we said, full of emotion, and it'll be a hell of a send-off for one of the greatest to ever do it. Ed, thank you. All major free-to-air channels will broadcast the memorial across Australia and Foxtel from 7 p.m. The MCG gates are going to open at 5:30. Guests have to be there by 6:45 for that 7 o'clock start. Yep. Let's hope we see that MCG full. Eddie, thank you, mate.
Good on you, guys. Wear your cricket gear as well and enjoy it. And, there'll be some tears tonight, but a lot of laughter as well. And that just about sums up SK War.
Look after yourself, Eddie. Thank you.
Good on you, guys.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, that is where you're at for your Wednesday arvo. And guys, Make-A-Wish Australia has more than 800 seriously ill children waiting for a wish. They need stars like you to help. Donate by purchasing a Wishmaker star at any Hungry Jack's until April 4.
Yeah, they do fantastic work. Of course, COVID-19 has made their work even harder. So
absolutely.
Help where you can.
Yeah, make a difference in sick kids' lives thanks to Make-A-Wish. And Hungry Jack's, get
yes.
in there.
Hey, heaps of the show still to come, Bickers. And then the show continues tonight. Of course, you'll be gracing people's screens on the project. And then at 9:30 on the ABC, the Comedy Festival Gala is on tonight. And I will be trotting out some of my finest
amazing.
Smut.
At least there's no false advertising.
No. If you like a dumb and filthy, tune in.
Speaking of false advertising.
Yeah.
Have I got a yarn for you up next about what went down at a wedding?
That's good. That's some of the stuff
gear.
I do.
Yeah.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and song. The listener app for your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie and Tommy.
I want to tell you about Desiree.
Yeah.
You know Desiree? Life, oh. Nah, not that Desiree.
Oh.
Desiree White.
Oh.
Desiree White, who has a fortunate name, really, because we're talking about her wedding day. And
Barry's
her
daughter?
Her name is Desiree White. Not Barry's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Desiree has told the story of what happened on her wedding day with her best mate. Her best mate being a guy.
Yes.
I've heard of some hectic best man speeches before, but this really takes the cake.
Okay.
So, she's at the wedding. She's there getting married to her beautiful husband. They've gotten married and the best man stands up, her best man, who is like her maid of honour but a guy.
Man of honour.
Is that what you call them? Man of honour.
Yes.
But he's also mates with the husband as well.
Yes.
So the three of them are a little trio. They'd known each other since school days.
But not a thruple.
Not a thruple.
Don't get that confused.
She said it was completely platonic. When they were younger, they started hanging out at school and they've been good mates ever since, right? And he gets up. He was a little drunk. Gets up to deliver
at her wedding to their mutual friend. To basically say, what they're meant to say is, hey, I'm so glad you two have found each other. You'll make each other so happy.
Yes.
Congratulations. And what did
Only
he say?
Only Bryant said, I remember the first time I saw Desiree. I loved her. I fell in love with her. I knew she had to be mine. I thought she was the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. She's the best person I've ever met. I've never met anyone like her.
Oh, my God.
Then I found out she had a boyfriend, and I thought I needed to find a way to get to her. But then I met her husband, the boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we became friends. She said at that point her ears went very red and the room went very quiet.
Yes.
She went on to talk about what kind of woman she was like. And then as the guests started to go, he then went, anyway, love you both. Congratulations.
Wow.
But that's not where it ends. So everyone brushes it off and thinks, well, he's just had a bit too much to drink and, you know, he's her best mate. Well, best friends.
All he's admitted his undying love.
Exactly.
For her.
I mean, it's not that bad. Anyway, then they're on the dance floor and her husband was having a dance with one of the maids of honour and she was having a dance with this guy,
oh my God.
Right? And then he says,
why are they grinding so much?
He said, why didn't you ever give me a chance?
Oh, my God, Bryant.
I would have always taken care of you. And she said, what do you mean?
Bryant?
Bryant. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, I love you. And she then started reflecting.
Remember when the minister said, does anyone object, Bryant?
Yeah.
Well, she said she then started reflecting what had happened earlier in the day. And Bryant had happened to be at her house in the morning when she was getting ready at her parents' house.
Bryant?
Bryant's everywhere.
You shouldn't be here, Bryant. I'm getting dressed.
Bryant is a name I've just never heard before.
When she walked into the living room of her parents' home in the morning in her wedding dress, she came out and Brian just stood.
Yeah, what was he thinking? If he sees her first, he gets her?
No, he stood in front of her and just froze and stared at her. And she said, hey, what's up? And he said, oh, my God, you look beautiful. And she said on reflection in that moment she realised there was the look of love.
What? And not in the moment where he said in front of everyone at the wedding, I love her.
Or when they were dancing, he said, I love you.
He said, I love you.
Anyway,
me,
fast
Brian,
forward.
With
you.
A T on the end, just to be clear.
Fast forward a year and her and her husband's relationship breaks down.
No
she,
way.
Yeah, she said.
Can I guess who popped up?
Hold on, I've got to tell you why their relationship began to crumble.
Yeah.
She said her then husband had adopted what she called a totally different lifestyle.
One that didn't involve Bryant, I would have thought.
And then Bryant pops up.
Did he?
And she was quite sad, quite down in the dump, and then down in the dumps. And Bryant ended up being her emotional support during that time.
Who would have thought?
And they'd hang out and he'd get her food and they'd watch TV together. And then one day Bryant kissed her and then the kissing didn't stop. And then they became lovers. And then within a year she became pregnant and the kid's now 9 and they're still happily married.
Have they gone with Bryant Jr. for the kid?
Actually, now a mother to her and Bryant's 4 boys. Have they got 4 kids? They've got 4 kids together
good
now.
Good on them. Good on them.
There you go. Once so you pop, that's a real love
stop.
Story, isn't
that's
it?
That's great. What do you want to do calls on, Bickers? Do you want to do?
I'm fascinated when you cut someone else's lunch. Like at a wedding, is it a very interesting place to choose to do it?
Yes.
Very public.
Yes, it's very public.
Yes.
Yep. I've got a scandalous wedding story for
next?
You. Maybe I can.
So do you want to do
next.
Scandalous wedding stories or cutting lunch?
Oh, I'll take
all of the above.
Great.
Call us 131060.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Oh.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and on 131060. When did you cut someone else's lunch?
Yep, scandalous wedding stories we're talking, because Desiree White has shared a story about how she was at her wedding getting married to her husband and the best man got up, confessed his love to her.
Yes.
And it was very embarrassing. His whole speech was about how amazing she was. Anyway, a year on, she divorced the other guy, married this guy, and they now got kids together.
Bryant. Yes. G'day, Jason.
Good morning. Oh, it's not morning. It's afternoon. How are we?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Happy birthday, mate.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Have you got a scandalous wedding story?
Yeah, I do. So the rehearsal for my brother, I wasn't the best man, but I was second in line to the throne, as you would say. We're at the rehearsal the day before. He's getting married. Him and his wife, but that day of the rehearsal, I was in town and I end up seeing his ex that I haven't seen in about 5 years.
Yeah.
So we're at the rehearsal and I'm my brother's wife's name's Fiona. So I was like, oh, okay. So midway, and then I was like, oh, Kimberly, can you just come over here? That's his ex.
Oh, Jason.
Oh,
and don't mention the ex.
What did the next 10 seconds look like?
Awkward silence and a bit of just, my brother looked at me with the eye roll and I was like, I've done it.
Done it. Yes, this one's on me, guys.
I was going to ask.
What?
No, nothing. What? Actually, I was going to ask about Kimberly, but we're not discussing Kimberly because Kimberly's the ex.
What? You can ask a question about Kimberly. Were you going to say, has Jason had a crack at Kimberly? Was that
I just was. Are you happy with his
current choice?
Definitely. Yeah, no, definitely Fiona. But don't try and screw me up because I was about to say Kimberly again. And so don't do that.
What's your scandalous story you were saying?
Oh, so this was a friend at a wedding and he called me the next day and he goes, have I got a story for you? I knew I wasn't close with the people who were getting married, but I had friends that were there. And he says, it was the wildest wedding ever. He goes, they were doing speeches and the wife was doing her speech, right? Right. So they've just got married. She's doing her speech. And there was a couple in the audience and they were talking quite loudly. And the groom stood up and told them to shut up during the speech. And the partner, she was a bit pissed and she went, oh, please, this is the first time.
Hold on, the partner that she, the woman.
The woman talking in the crowd. And she turned and yelled and said, oh, please, you've never cared about her. Don't pretend to caring now.
Stop.
And then he goes, that's it, get out. But before they could get her out, she said, I can name all the people you've slept with here while you were together. God. And so he's like, get her out. And she's going, Jay, like just listing off names of girls. Jenny, Kelly, Stephanie, and as they're dragging her to the door, just between them.
Then what happened? Did the wedding continue?
The wedding continues.
No.
Yes.
How can a wedding continue after that?
I mean, what do you mean? What do you do?
Well, the guests leave. If he's listed that, she's listed that many people. There's no one left.
No, they're the people that have to leave. If you were named, could you please leave?
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Coming up very soon, we're going to find out another one of our finalists for Carrie and Tommy's Game Set Cash. They could win $5,000, all thanks to Tennis Australia.
Hey, we're also going to talk about dead deep fakes, Bickers.
I find deep fakes so confusing, but so fascinating. Because there was a Tom Cruise deep fake, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
So what exactly? Anyway, let's talk about this soon. Yes. I want to know what a deep fake is. Yes. And how you have someone come back from the dead as a deep fake.
Yes. Are we going to do shallow fakes as well, or you just want to go for the deep ones? Okay, that's coming up.
Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie and Tommy's Game, Set, Cash.
tennis.com.au, it's never been easier to rally up a hit. You can find your local tennis court and book within minutes.
This is fun. We are looking for Australia's tennis hopefuls and woefuls as well to serve up a storm for the chance to win a stack of prizes, including $5,000 cash. All you got to do is serve a tennis ball at one of the many cans on a tennis court, and hopefully that can that you knock down has the $5,000 cash in it.
Who wants it, Bickers?
Emily. Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you guys?
I mean,
Much better for speaking to you.
Yeah, we're pretty good, but who cares about us? Are you excited at the chance to win $5,000?
I'm super excited.
And so what are you doing? Are you standing out the front and just potting tennis balls at random targets in the street trying to get your aim in?
Wow. So my little bulldog is obsessed with tennis balls, right. So I've just been throwing them for her, but she hides them under the couch, so it's just a bit of a game for her. But that's probably my only practice at the moment.
Okay.
I'll probably start practicing.
Did you used to play tennis, Em?
So in grade one, I had tennis lessons for a little bit, but I had to tell Mum and Dad that I was going to quit because I was a bit naughty. And I was with a friend and we're in the coach's office and we're just mucking around writing notes to each other on the whiteboard, and I wrote the coach's name and I wrote that they smelled and it was in permanent marker. So there was a whole big meeting afterwards and they tried to find who the culprit was and I never admitted to it and I was too embarrassed to ever go back. So I said,
did you both put your hand up and say double fault?
Oh, yeah.
Good one. Tennis.
Good one, tennis one.
Yeah.
AM, have you ever heard someone make a pun and then say to everybody afterwards, good one?
Look, probably a first, but loved it.
Love all, loves all.
Okay, AM, we'll see you soon. Hopefully you win $5,000. Good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Playtennis.com.au. It's never been easier to rally up a hit. You can find your local tennis court and book within minutes.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Fabulous show returning to the ABC tonight at 9 p.m. It is called Tomorrow Tonight. Award-winning journalist commentator Annabelle Crabb hosts the new season. She joins us now. Welcome.
Oh, that's just a beautiful reception. Nicest I've had in years. Thank you.
Well, this is a bit interesting, Annabelle, because we were about to start talking about deep fakes with you and whether you'd bring people back from the dead and all of this stuff. But our producer has just told us that you've just stood on a piece of glass and you're bleeding everywhere. So
I'm bleeding quite heavily from my foot and the glass is stuck in my foot.
Oh. No,
I don't know. Do we just continue on with this or should we stop while you get the glass?
Do you know what? It's been the weirdest 24 hours because I was locked up in the budget lockup yesterday and our show is going to air tonight. I've been like all budget all this morning and now I'm talking about Tomorrow Tonight, a show that, you know, got delayed a bunch of times because of COVID, involved just like epic debacle to get there. But now we've got there and now I'm going to bleed to death before it even goes to on the television. But I mean, I am spending my last, you know, viable moments with you and I'm loving it.
Well, it's interesting. If you do bleed to death, there's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and that is, would we bring you back in a deep fake style way so that you are still with us? Because tonight's episode is about deep fakes, which I'll be honest, I get a bit confused about. So what is a deep fake and what's the conversation that you guys have tonight?
Well, deep fakes are those, you know, you see videos that are allegedly of somebody, but actually they've been faked up by people, you know, collecting images and jamming them together through really elaborate software to make a video where somebody appears to say something or do something that they actually haven't done. Now, often, like there's a Tom Cruise one that we show in the show tonight, there's a Barack Obama one that's done the rounds, and you can sort of see that it's a bit NQR, like it's not quite right, and you just think, well, I can spot that. But actually, we're not very far off deep fakes being completely indistinguishable from the real thing. So my co-panelists and myself, that's Charlie Pickering and the great Adam Liao, are collecting a couple of others, Hamish Blake and Yumi Steins, to ask them some questions about what they think the world of deep fakes, the perfect deep fakes, will actually mean for us morally and in terms of our ability to even believe our own eyes. Because I think, you know, we're kind of used to fakes in the world around us, whether it's sort of fake texts or, fake artwork or whatever, but we kind of rely on our ability to believe our own eyes and trust our own eyes. And I think we're about to maybe lose that facility, which opens up a whole new world of just dreadful things, particularly in politics. So we do start at a certain point with our guests, and then they start to realise the actual deep horrors and actually the mitigating factors in deep fakes. Like maybe if you could bring back somebody's dead partner and have them kind of continue in their lives, sounds a bit creepy, but what if you were like 80 or 90 and you had Alzheimer's and every day you forget that your husband's gone and maybe a deep fake can help to reassure you?
Oh, I mean, that's lovely.
Right? You see, it sounds creepy,
but
then
you know?
That's right. And what we're doing with this show is like looking at the moral conundrums of tomorrow, but often these questions are actually more complicated than you think. Like if you think, oh, deep fake, shiver, that doesn't sound very nice. But actually there are some things that they might be useful for. And it's also given me an opportunity to ask Hamish Blake how he would explain a deep fake sex tape to his wife, if one ever surfaced.
Hey, Annabelle, I've got questions about deep fakes, but I've got one question that I need to get off my chest first. What was more painful, the glass in the foot or the budget lockup?
I would take another 10 glasses to the foot, actually, to avoid another budget lockup.
And with the deep fake stuff, is this going to mean that we can actually get away with anything because we can just say it was a deep fake?
See, this is, you have immediately identified the kind of second rung of consequences around deepfakes.
You should have gone on the show, Tommy.
I know, God, right?
We knew the guy that made it.
This opportunity. What a dummy that guy must be. So we already have a world where politicians will kind of, you know, try and get out of culpability for things with really fatuous excuses sometimes. But imagine if they do something incredibly stupid or, God forbid, say something incredibly stupid. They could just say, well, that was a deep fake. That wasn't really me at all.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I think it's a world of possibility. I think it sounds exciting.
Excitement in your eyes. Well, Tomorrow Tonight is returning tonight, 9 p.m. on ABC TV and ABC iView. Good luck, Annabelle.
Thank you very much. And goodbye.
Good luck with the foot as well.
Yes.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon, which means the time game is coming up soon, guys.
What is this?
That is a...
what is
that? Is it a fig?
It is not a fig.
Are you a fig jam?
Is it a baby avocado?
Oh, it does look like a baby avocado, doesn't it?
I know what it is. It's a kiwi berry or kiwi melon.
No, it's a name I've just temporarily forgotten.
Great.
What a guessing game.
Well, my friend in hair and makeup had a whole bag of them and they're from her tree and they're these tiny little things that look a bit like kiwi fruits.
They're not kiwi berries.
No, they're called a something with a j, a j, a jum jum jum. But apparently they taste a bit.
Oh my gosh. Kim Pickers has just stabbed her pen into it.
I was just going to give you a little taste.
Why did you poke a pen into it?
Like an orange? Are you peeling it like a lime?
No, have a taste of that. It's a weird thing.
I know what these are.
Yeah.
Jamoa.
Jamoa thing. Jamoas. They're Jamoans.
These are Jamaicans.
Jabotica?
What? Huh?
Jabotica?
No. Did your bodica? No. No.
What does it taste like?
Reason I bring it to you, because isn't it funny that I don't want to eat that because I don't know what it is? And
why?
When the girl that gave it to me said,
Fajoa.
Fajoa. It's
yes.
A Fajoa.
There you go.
That her kids won't eat it, even though it's in the backyard.
What do you mean? These are delicious. We grew up with a tree on the corner.
But don't you think it's funny how you are scared to eat something that you're not familiar with?
I'm not.
No, you're eating a lot of it.
Just jumping away.
Well, I'm scared of the fajoli.
If I was scared to eat things I wasn't familiar with, my weekends would be very quiet.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Wednesday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
The conversations around the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap continue.
Yes.
More and more people speaking out about it. I think Jim Carrey said overnight he was talking about the standing ovation at the end, and he was talking about how spineless Hollywood is.
Yes, I think I was going to say he called them piss weak, but spineless sounds more accurate.
Yes, Pete Hellier actually just interviewed him this morning, that interview coming to you on the project tonight, Jim Carrey, that is, and straight off the top, Jim Carrey starts talking about the incident again. So I'm not quite sure what he said, but Pete said he was fascinating about it.
Well, I will be watching because my chat with Jim Carrey was one of the strangest moments that's ever happened in my life.
Oh, why?
He told me I wasn't real. He told me I wasn't Australian. He told me we're all just energy that just exists around. It was, and this was before he'd been publicly nuts. Like, this then became his thing, right? But he just did it to me on a red carpet, and I was ready to quote Jim Carrey stuff to him, tell him how I grew up on his movies, and he just like grabbed me and was just like,
he was in a moment, right?
You're not Tommy. You're not an Australian. And I'm like, just like, because he's one of my comedy eyes. I'm not Tommy. I'm not Australian.
Well, Pete said he was absolutely fantastic this morning. So that interview is coming tonight on the project. But it made me think about my interview with Will Smith at the end of last year when I interviewed him about King Richard.
Yes.
This very movie that he got nominated for and won the Oscar for.
Yes.
And at the very end of the interview, we'd been talking about Serena and Venus and their life story and him playing the father. And at the end, I asked him about his autobiography that was out that really quite like intensely details his life, the abuse at the hands of his father, all of that stuff, and his relationship with Jada. And this is what had happened when I asked him that bit at the very, very end of the interview.
You've been so open about your relationship with Jada recently. What do you wish younger Will knew about marriage that you know now?
I'm very sorry, but we have to wrap the interview.
Oh, no, she just got to the good question. That's the one she been trying to ask the whole time.
We just got to the juicy stuff.
So at the time of that, I genuinely thought the interview, we were out of time. But on reflection, perhaps he's just not comfortable discussing that whole space.
Was that close? So you get, for any interviews, you get a lot at a time. Was that close to?
It was very close to the end.
Right.
But given he came in right when you'd...
And also, if it was bang on time, how interesting. Because he could have interrupted you mid-question.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Or at the start and gone,
so it made
hey,
me think,
Carrie, before you start next question, we're out of time.
And the reason I asked him is because he'd done that big interview where he'd spoken openly about their open relationship. So I thought he was quite comfortable talking about it.
On her show, when he went on her show as a guest.
Did he do Oprah?
No, he went on the bloody round table, the red table, whatever her show is. And she's like, hey, babe, can you come on as a guest? What are we going to talk about? It'll just be fun.
Anyway, his autobiography, I only came to be reminded of the first page of his autobiography. So what we're about to hear now is page one of Will Smith's autobiography that came out last year, read by Will Smith. And a warning, some of the content in here is quite confronting.
When I was 9 years old, I watched my father punch my mother in the side of her head so hard that she collapsed. I saw her spit blood. That moment in that bedroom, probably more than any other moment in my life, has defined who I am today. Within everything that I've done since then, the awards and accolades, the spotlights and the attention, the characters and the laughs, there's been a subtle string of apologies to my mother for my inaction that day. for failing her in that moment, for failing to stand up to my father, for being a coward.
I think that's really interesting if you've grown up in a household like that. And that childhood, I think, informs a lot about who he is as a person. Obviously, stuff that happens in their relationship. And I don't think there's any excuse for violence. And I don't know what happens for Will Smith from here on in. Let's talk whether they'll take the Oscar off him. I don't know.
There's no way they will, right?
Jada's actually come out and commented on the moment as well. And I'd read that she'd commented on it. And I went to her Instagram thinking there'd be this big post about the incident. And all it is one line that says, "This is a season for healing and I'm here for it." So
just add that to the list of things I don't really understand.
No, I know.
Okay.
Glad I'm not in their household tonight, that's all.
Now that the show's finished, don't be sad. You can get more Carrie and Tommy anytime you like. Just download and sign up to the Listener app. It's the new home of Carrie and Tommy.